That's a pretty big God, amen? You know what? As big as God is, He's not too big to visit a little congregation like this. I know we think when we've got a mega church, we've got, I don't know how many they've got, but hundreds of thousands of people that God ought to be obligated to visit there more so than here. But I promise you, He said, wherever two or three are gathered in My name, He said, lo, I'm in the midst. A good example of that's those disciples, those two disciples, were on the Emmaus Road, and as they journeyed, if you read your Bible, Jesus joined them. And He said, what communication have you among yourselves? And they said, art thou a stranger? Knowest not these things? And as they walked down that road, they was having fellowship with the Lord. They didn't realize it. But after their eyes were open, they commented and they said, did not our hearts burn one with another while we communed with Him? I'll tell you right now, I know He's so big, but He's not too big to visit us. I praise God for that. I'm glad there's no big eyes, nor is there any little ewes. I praise the Lord for God like that. And I know the world, they've got their own, Molly, they've got their own envision of God, but I'm glad I do know Him, and I'm glad He does know me. He said, my sheep know my voice, and He said, I know their name. Amen. Before I preach this morning, maybe somebody's got a testimony on your heart. If you do, I'll give you an opportunity to give better. And if not, we'll open our Bibles to Psalms chapter number 18. Psalms chapter number 18. Good to have everybody here this morning. I hope you've prayed for your pastor this week. I've been discouraged more so than ever this week, especially yesterday. Seemed like yesterday I had one of them Job days. Every phone call I got, my son, his car broke down. My daughter called me and her, and the wife was into it, and just really bad day. Just couldn't seem like do anything right. It's one of them days all you wanted to do was go to bed and hope it's better when you get up in the morning. For what it's worth, Psalms 18. Yeah. Bless you, Sister Carolyn. Amen. Well said there. Amen. He's gracious, ain't He? Yeah, He's gracious and good. I got to testify a little bit this week. And boy, it's a real blessing. I asked to be able to. I got up that morning and I asked. I said, Lord, would You let me tell somebody about You today? Would You let me maybe give someone a word fitly spoken today? And every day that I asked that, I found unbelievable opportunities. And I praise the Lord for that one of them. I went up to Zach's right up the road from my house to get a tenderloin and biscuit. Don't hold it against me, but I went up there to get a tenderloin and biscuit. When I came out, a young man was reading them signs on the side of my car. And you know how I just try to test the water a little bit. I said, what do you think about that? He said, I think it's wonderful. And I got to talk with him there a little bit. And I met a man and his wife. And boy, I'll tell you what, boy. They had called me about a boat trailer I had for sale for $300. And on the way up there, they lived in Louisville and I lived in Glasgow. I said, I'll meet you halfway, save you part of the trip. We met in Elizabethtown. But as I got closer, I got off on exit 94. And I told him where I was. And when he answered me back, he said, brother, where'd you say you was? And when he said, brother, I'd say it like this, but I got a blessing just hearing a man that I'd never met and didn't know call me brother. And when they pulled in there, they were both Christians, him and his wife. And he asked me if I'd take any less for the trailer. I would have given it to him free. I said, what are you offering? He said, how about $200? I hugged his neck. I said, that's good with me. I left there, Molly, with more than the value that I was asking for the trailer. I wept all the way home, I have to admit. You know, I didn't see it coming. But just the way he said, brother, I knew. I thought, well, he hadn't cussed the whole time I've been talking with him, you know. But he said, where'd you say you was, brother? And he just kind of let it slip. But boy, I'll tell you what, it was kind of like one of them handfuls on purpose. I needed it at the time. He could have offered $20 for it. I'd have given it to him. I'm not kidding you. All right, Psalms chapter 18. verse 4 through 5. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. I'll stop right there. That's two verses. I'm going to preach this morning, hell, the place of sorrows. I believe I'm in the right spirit to preach it. I've been through hell this week, it seems like. I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. I'm just making a statement. I'll never complain. I know better than that. Man, His grace is sufficient. But pray with me, and we'll do our best to deliver this message. Father, Lord, we thank You, Lord, for the precious Word of God. We thank You, Father, Lord, for this message, Lord, because I know it's from You. I just pray for Your blessing, Father, upon the preaching of Your Word. Lord, may it, I pray, be received as the Word of God. Lord, I pray the things that will be said with Lord, grace, and Lord, to be seasoned with the Spirit of God. And Lord, we ask Your Father today that You might bless those that are saved. And Lord, may they realize they don't have to worry about going to hell no more. But those that are here this morning are not saved. I pray the reality of hell would get a hold of them, Father. And I pray, dear Lord, that they would run quickly, Lord, and escape that damnation or that place of the damned. And I pray they get a refuge for their soul. And Lord, I pray You'll get honor and glory throughout the service. And we'll be careful to thank You for it and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hell, the place of sorrows. And it is a place of sorrows. It may be a minute for a preach. Now, the reason for that is I want to touch on a couple of things. But I am fixing to drop the plow, I guess you could say. But I just want to bring you up to date with a couple of things that's going on in America. There's a porn star teaching our young people sex education in San Francisco. I know it's funny, but you know the Bible does say, you know, that fools make a mock at sin, and it really is not funny, but we do laugh about it. But and I heard that on the radio, and I said, that can't be true. So I went on the internet, and I don't advise you to do this. But when I went on the internet, it's not only just true, but they've got evidence of it. I mean, it's being acted out in the classroom. Disgusting. In America. Boy, we have really come a long way, haven't we? And I wouldn't advise you to go on there. Even though the pictures are distorted that are taken in the classrooms, you can still tell what they're doing. I wish I hadn't. I mean, it's not a clear picture, but it's clear enough you can tell what's going on. It's sad. It's sick. But you know, hell's the kind of place for stuff like that. That's the end of those kind of acts. I mean, they're fun. The Bible does say there's pleasure in sin, but it's four seasons. Amen. There's not no pleasure in a place called hell. But in America, one nation under God, God bless America. In America. Boy. We've got a, bless you, brother Hart. We've got a porn star teaching our young children sex education. To our shame. In San Francisco, with live demonstrations in the classroom, boy, we've come a long way. Boy, just give our children over to the devil. The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, and how great a matter a little leaven leaveneth. Don't give no place to the devil. No, just give him the children, give him the classroom. You won't get Brother Eddie to be able to get in there. I don't care. You can petition the governor. You can call the president. They won't let me in there. But they'll let a porn star in there. And by the way, the Pope's resigning to avoid arrest and seizure of wealth and property on charges of crimes against humanity, which is child abuse, Satanism, the torture and trafficking of little children. Those are going on. I don't care. You can put your head in the sand if you want to. But he's not just stepping down. He's resigning. That's on the internet too. You can check that out too. I heard about these things on Christian radio. I'm just like you. I'm dumb in a box of rocks. But I like to stay informed, and I especially want to be informed about certain things, such as this right here. Let me get that back to preaching here. This scripture here is repeated word for word in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 5 through 6. But hell is truly a place of sorrows. Now I've got five things here about hell. I don't think it'll take me that long to preach them. But I do want to be as explicit as I can. But one of the things about hell is you'll be sorry that you're there when you end up in hell. Psalms 116 verse 3 says, "The sorrows of death compassed me about, and the pains of hell got hold upon me." He said, "I found trouble and sorrow." If you end up in hell, and a lot of people will today, there's people right now going to hell. They're on their way down. I mean, to their horror, they're on their way to hell right now. Laughter stopped. The joking's over. The reality of hell rising up like a great white shark, boy, just ready to devour. I mentioned not too long ago about Isaiah chapter 14 said, "Hell's moved up to receive you." And I'll tell you right now, hell's not no respecter of person. He don't care if you're gay or lesbian. You know, it's kind of funny. I'll just throw this in here. I reckon I must have my shotgun with me today. I don't know, but I preached a message not too long ago. Really, I taught it on a Wednesday night. On the truth about homosexuality, and that's almost surpassed the message I preached on the torments of hell. Now, the torments of hell gets visited more than any message on there. But rapidly catching up to it is I just taught really on a Wednesday night out of a tract. I still got it right there in my Bible. That a man wrote on the truth about homosexuality. You'd think that would be something that people would shun. And yet that word hell and that word homosexuality kind of draws, I guess, the search engine to those people to that subject. And they'll be listening to this one too. But let me say this, if you end up going to hell, you'll be sorry that you're there. No more doubt about hell. No more questions. There's no more, no more worrying about whether it's real or not. Jonah, chapter 2, verse 2, Jonah said, "Out of the belly of hell," he said, "I cried." And let me say this, there's people right now, Charity, and probably some young people there, honey, they're down there in hell saying, "Why didn't somebody warn me? Why didn't somebody reach me?" That's our shame. I mean, we're His ambassadors. We're His witnesses. We're the salt. We're the light. We may not be much light. I bought my granddaughter a little old flashlight at Goodwill, and the batteries in it wasn't much. Just a little bee light, yellow light. But you know, that's about the way we are. Just a little small flickering lights about where we're at. I mean, no booming. You know, when you first got saved, if you can go back in the archives, I mean, I've been saved 25 years. I first got saved, man, I'd witness to a telephone. I'd witness to a tree. I'd witness to a fence post, to a dog, to anything that stands still long enough. I didn't have it doctrinally straight. I didn't know all the ins and outs. But I'll tell you one thing, bud, I sure want to tell people about Jesus. Amen. And I tell you what, people got mad. One girl said, we're happy for you. We got tired. She, Nancy at work, she said, "We're happy for you, brother. We've heard it 100 times. I said, "I never get tired of telling it." Johnny the Baptist, I was listening to him preach yesterday as I was coming back from Tennessee. I went down there to get a swimming pool that I was going to buy for $100. I'm kind of glad it didn't work out. That's why I got all the phone calls and my world went belly up. Even though the granddaughter's heart was set on getting that big 24-inch swimming pool, we'll just live without one. Man, just because it's $100 don't mean it's a good deal. After I knocked all them knuckles off and after we twisted all them bolts off, I realized, I said, "Buddy, if you don't mind, I'll give you $100 just to keep it." Anyway, on the way back, I was listening to Johnny Campbell preach, and he was talking about when he first got saved. And he said his pastor took him with him to the hospital. Now, when you first get saved, Brother Rick, you used to take me out on visitation. You couldn't get a word in. I was too full. He said, I took Brother Eddie on visitation. Said he started this guy's house. Said he started Genesis, went on with a Revelation. And that's probably about true. You know, I have to admit, but Johnny was telling, he said his pastor said, I've got to go up there and see a guy. He said, you stay here in the waiting room, I'll be back down. They've got limited visitation. He's in ICU and they only let one person in. And Johnny said, he's sitting in there and said, a nurse come in there and she said, are you a preacher? He said, yeah. He said, I don't know what to say. She said, come down here, please. There's a lady, she's dying. She needs someone to tell her. He went down there. He said, I didn't even know John 3:16. He said, I come in there and that woman laying in that bed. He said, ma'am, I just want to tell you, Jesus loves you. He wants to save you. He will save you. Save me. Amen. And she got saved, lit the whole room up. And his preacher come down there, and John, he's all lit up. He said, what's going on? He said, I just led a woman to the Lord down there. He said, is that right? He said, yeah, down in room so-and-so. And that preacher went down there, and man, I'll tell you what, he got blessed. Johnny came the next day, Brother Melvin, to go out there and to talk with a lady, and she done died. She died that night. But you know what? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to get the word to them before death comes. We're supposed to not be ashamed. Tell them about Jesus. Jesus said, you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Jesus, at the age of 12 years old, he said, know ye not, I must be about my Father's business. It's a soul winning business. If you want to be part of God's work, start getting a burden. If you ain't got one, pray for one. There's people going to hell. I'll tell you what, buddy. Hell's real. Jonah said, out of the belly of hell, he said, I cried. Matthew chapter 13, verse 42. Said, they'll cast him into a furnace of fire. They'll be wailing and gnashing their teeth. Hell's not no joking matter. Out there on the side of my car, I got two signs on there. They're not scriptural. But they say the party in hell's been canceled due to the fire. I've had a lot of rebuke over those signs. A lot of people gave me one-finger gestures over those signs. But I'm glad God stood between me and hell, Sister Sophia. Amen. And because of him standing there, Molly, I didn't make it. I was on my way to hell. I was on a dead-end road that ended up to hell. But I'm glad he stood between me and there. I'm glad he prevented me from ending up in that dreadful place, because I'll tell you right now, I deserved it. But there'll be gnashing of teeth. There'll be wailing. There'll be weeping down there. You'll be sorry if you end up in hell. And down there in Mark chapter 9, verse 43-48, mentions four times, they're in hell, so their worm dieth not, and the fire's not quenched. And verse 45 said they'll be cast into hell fire that never shall be quenched. I worked out there at a place called Dana Axel. I worked in heat treat, and what we did was we heat treated these great big ring gears. Some of them weigh 60, 80 pounds. They're this big. I slinging things all night long, 12 hours. But we stack them up on these racks, and they'd be like six high. And then this door, this furnace would open up, and it looked like the Wizard of Oz. I mean, this fire would just bellow out everywhere. And you could look back down in there, and you can see all the way back in that furnace, Brother Bobby, and you can see these gears, and they were just so hot. It looked like you could actually see through them. They were kind of a transparent orange on the entrance of that furnace. They'd stay in that furnace like 12 hours. And at the back, at the exit, we took turns front and back. If you was at the back of that furnace, you had a big long pitchfork, Emily. And I'm going to guess it's probably about this long, because if you got very close to him, I did get burnt quite a bit, but if you got very close to him, he'd just send you hair, burn you. Anyway, that door would open up in the back, and here they come, big stack of these hot gears, and a lot of guys would drop them, and when they did, it'd melt down through the concrete. I mean, they're just that hot. But they'd come out the back, and you'd take that big pitchfork, and you'd stick it in there and get a hold of one of them gears, and you take it over real carefully, and you put it down on this big oil bath of a press, and it'd come down and it'd squirt oil all over that gear and quench it. And that gear would come out. It was still hot. You had to wear gloves, but you could pick it up and put it on the bracket and send it through what's called the conditioner. But you won't ever quench the fire of hell. There's not no quencher down there. Matter of fact, the fire will never be quenched in hell. Ain't it funny? The sun defies all scientific logic. Now, I met a guy yesterday, he's an engineer. I talked with him a little bit, he said he's a missionary Baptist, and that's wonderful. But to have a fire, you gotta have fuel, you gotta have oxygen, and then you gotta have some kind of source of ignition. And once you light that fire and it's going, you gotta keep feeding it fuel And it's got to have oxygen to burn. Or if it lacks oxygen, it'll go out. If it lacks fuel, it'll go out. Well, the sun's up there. Ain't no fuel. Ain't no oxygen up there, Molly. You know why it's up there? Somebody said, let there be light, and it lit up.
Amen.
Yeah. It defies all logic. Science can't explain it. They can't understand it. It's out of their league. It's one of them things, one of them heavenly things I mentioned last Sunday. It's one of them things that God's done. It can't be undone. Well, He done the same thing in hell. He said, I'm a prepare a place for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. That's what hell is. It's a place fit for the devil. Now, if you're going to live like the devil, you're going to drink like the devil, you're going to talk like the devil, you're going to do drugs like the devil, you're probably going to end up with the devil. But I'll promise you this, when you do end up, you'll be sorry. And there's people down there right now and they're sorry. Oh, I wish I could get a busload of them up here, Brother Madden. If we give the invitation, every one of them be on this altar. Oh God, I'm sorry. Lord, I thank You. If You'll have me, I'll get saved right now. You won't have to sing one stanza. I'll get saved before Margaret makes it to piano. Before Brother Melvin opens the songbook, I'll get saved. Unfortunately, you got to get saved this side of hell. You die in your sins, God is gracious. Brother William, He is. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you what ain't gracious. Sin. The Bible said sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. The wages of sin is death. One thing about the blood, Molly, is it cleanses us from all sin. The blood blotted out my sin. The blood took care of my sin problem. It gave me the other part of Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen, Sister Carolyn. But there's people down in hell and they didn't get to Jesus before death got to them. And when they stood before God, they stood before God guilty and condemned because they died in their sins and their sins sent them to hell.
Amen.
I know it's quiet in here. But I'll tell you right now, the fire will never be quenched in hell. And it don't matter. They're going there right now by the multitudes. There's mass multitudes going to hell even today. Luke 16, I'm just taking excerpts from some of the verses. Luke 16:23, talking about that rich man. It said, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Verse 24 said, and he cried, I'm tormented in this flame. It's his own fault. Molly, God put Lazarus out there. Out there at his doorstep. God put Lazarus there. Some of you, God's put people in your life. Lazarus was a witness. That rich man wouldn't receive the witness of Lazarus. But boy, he was sure willing to ask Abraham to send Lazarus now. Oh, he got over all of that self-righteousness where he thought he was better than Lazarus. He saw Lazarus in a better environment than he was in. Matter of fact, he was in the torments of hell and he lifted up his eyes and he cried, said, I'm tormented in these flames, amen. Hell's real, amen. It's real. Johnny said he, first time he went to church, he said, the preacher didn't look at me. He said, he didn't have to. He said, no matter where he's looking, he said, I felt it. You end up in hell, you'll be sorry you're there. Number two, you'll be sorry that you disappointed others. You may not care. You may not even want to know. But there are people who care about you. There's little ones like Emily and Charity that pray. I work with a girl. She just started last week, Kimberly. She told me, she said, my little girl's been asking me to go to church. I said, Kimberly, you ought to go with her. I said, you're the only one that can give her what she's asking. Your little girl, she teared up right then, Carolyn. Your little girl's asking you to go to church, Kimberly. I saw she had some heart soaked and she's fighting them tears back. I said, the Lord wants you to come too. I said, you'll disappoint that little girl if you don't go. And I believe, now today's the day she's supposed to go, Brother Melvin. I don't know that Kimberly goes, but I'll tell you one thing. When I go to work tomorrow night, I'll ask, I'll say, did you go to church, that little girl? And even if she don't, I just want to make sure she don't forget that little girl asked her. You know what I told her, Margaret? I said, carry me my little boy one day. He come to his drunk daddy. He said, Daddy, will you please go to church with me today? Carolyn, for the first time at the age of 34 years old, I saw the real Eddie Wade. Man, I'd done that Hollywood makeup stuff. I'd done had old Eddie Wade all covered up, you know. And the part of Eddie Wade I saw wasn't too bad. But when that little boy said, Daddy, will you please go to church with me today? All that makeup and stuff left. And I tell you what, I got a good look. That's sad. It's your little boy. I should have been asking him, Carolyn. I should have said, son, and I do now. I said, son, let's go to church. But you know what Carolyn told me? She said, don't the Bible say somewhere a little child will lead them? I said, yeah, it does. Well, that's encouraging, Margaret. That let me know she knew a little bit of Bible. Amen. Come to find out, I grew up with Kimberly's mother. I just found out this week her mother's name's Wanda Williams. We played together when we was that tall. I thank the world of her mother. I've really got some advantage now. You better believe it, boy. The Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise. I'm using some wisdom here. Amen. Amen. You'll disappoint. There's some mothers, Brother Melvin, up in heaven. You know what they're doing? They're watching those that arrive. You know why? They want to see that daughter. They want to see that son. You know, the day I got saved, April 27th, 1988, I was stubborn as a mule, but I did finally get saved. But my grandfather had come to me many times, and he called me Horsefly because I worried him. He said, Horsefly, I wish you'd get saved. And I'm sitting there, but I'm having my shirt off in my filth, you know. I've got a ball of pass-through ribbon behind me. I done seen him coming, you know. His glasses is about an inch thick. I do wear glasses, but not like my grandfather. They made his eyes look like two great big eggs. But I'll tell you what also they made. They made them tears visible that was running down his cheeks while he's talking to me. He said, Horsefly, I wish you'd get saved. I've been praying for you. And I told him, I said, well, maybe someday, Pop. And I was 18. I mean, good grief. Why not wait till I'm 81 and get saved? What in the world? I'm just 18 years old. And here's a man pleading with me to get saved. I thought, man, I got plenty of time. I mean, I didn't say this. I thought it in my heart. I might as well have said it. I thought, man, I got plenty of time. I'm just 18, Papa Ed. My grandfather said, Horsefly, if you ever change your mind, he said, I don't care what hour of the day it is. He said, you come down here to my house, and I'll personally introduce you to Jesus. You know what I thought, Carolyn? I thought, any time I want to, I can get saved. It wasn't too long. I got the news. My grandfather graduated this life. But he hit home then. Because I realized then the only person really cared about me now is gone. But I promise you this, one day I'm going to heaven. And when I do enter those pearly gates, those portals of heaven, I promise you, there'll be someone say, Horsefly, glory to God, I'm glad you're home, amen. And on the other hand, there'll be some others that'll be brokenhearted. One verse there in the Bible in Revelation chapter 21 says God will wipe away tears. What's tears doing in heaven? Somebody's brokenhearted. Somebody's disappointed. Somebody was expecting to see children. Maybe see a wife. Maybe see a husband. Maybe see a father. Maybe see a mother. Maybe somebody kept watching and never showed up. I guarantee you there's somebody in heaven wanting to see you there. You just think about it a minute. You'll be sorry that you disappointed others. You know one thing you ought to do? You ought to love somebody enough, at least be able to, a little preacher, could preach a funeral and give a family some hope. To be able to say, we believe they got saved. I mean, just be able to give them further hope, amen. Just be able to give something to give a family that's down as low as they can go, amen. You'll disappoint. You'll be sorry you disappointed others. That's the kind of place hell is. It's a consuming place. There'll be those that'll be disappointed. You know, you might even disappoint Jesus. Because I'll tell you right now, buddy, He died for you. He loved you. Matter of fact, the Bible said He loved you unto the end. Greater love has no man than this. He laid down his life for his friends. But even Jesus said, you would not come to me. He said, therefore your house is left unto you desolate. Matthew chapter 23, verse 38. You'll disappoint Jesus. You know, that's one thing for somebody to die for you. But it's another thing not to let them do what they died for you for. Can you imagine, Brother Melvin, the look in Jesus' eyes when he said, oh, how I longed you to come to me and you would not. And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. Man, Jesus went through hell to give you heaven. And you sitting there holding back on the rewards of His suffering, thinking you've got some right to wait. Man, I'll tell you what. If you miss heaven, you deserve hell. The Lord, boy, I'll tell you what, He paid the sin debt of the whole world. You'll be sorry that you disappointed others. But also you'll be sorry that many will follow you there. I always hear it, Brother Melvin, I'm not hurting nobody but myself. Yeah. Old drunk went out there to the barn on a snowy day to get him a drink. And he went out there, he heard something behind him. He looked around to see what was behind him. Behind him was a little old bitty boy back there, and he's going. He said, what are you doing, boy? He said, I'm following your footsteps, Daddy. He said, no, you're not. He went out there to that barn. Keith busted that whiskey bottle. He said, you'll follow me different from here on out, boy. Somebody's following you. You may not realize it. Somebody's patronizing you. Somebody says, now I grow up, I want to be just like you. Paul said, be ye followers of me even as I'm following Christ. Boy, it would be good if we set the right example, wouldn't it, Molly? These little children, I'm not calling them little, they're half adults, but they need a role model. They need an example. The Bible talks about the elderly women teaching younger women. They need somebody. You know, I'm going to speak for them. They're not going to speak. But I just figured out in my life, surely somebody somewhere would stop and tell me the things of life. I'm an only child. My mama never told me nothing. My dad never told me nothing. I found out everything the hard way. Please, take some time and invest in these two young girls here. Tell them things that they need to know. I tell my grandkids. I pull them up. Yeah, I do. I know better. Man, they left me alone. I think I made every mistake you can make. One thing I didn't do, I didn't make it to hell. You elderly women, invest in these younger ladies here. They need it. You'll be sorry that many will follow you there. That man there in Luke 16, he said, send Lazarus, verse 27 through 28. He said, send Lazarus, I pray thee, to my father's house. I got five brothers there. Lest they also come to this place of torment. I don't want them down here. Don't let them come down here. This place is hell. You'll be sorry that others will follow you there. One thing, I'll tell you what, it'd be one thing to go to hell. But it'd be another thing to know somebody's coming behind you. Man, I've seen all kind of big macho men. They thought they were so bad. Hell will take care of a bit of that. They'll cry like a baby, Sophia. They will. Oh, they're big tough guys. All that burns off before you ever get all the way down there, I believe. I believe that just goes up in a puff of smoke. Down there, buddy, you worm. It's in the ashes. Old Indian one time got saved and he didn't know how to tell his family. He just got saved and he got all his family together. Boy, wouldn't it be good to get saved, Sophie, and get all your family together? Man, he was able to do that. The Indians, they put a lot of emphasis on the older, the wisdom and stuff. And he said, we'll all come together. And they come together and he couldn't figure out how to show them. So he went and got some sticks and he built a fire. And he built that fire in a circle. And in the center of that circle, he put a worm. He told his family, he said, me, worm! He reached down, got me out of fire! Amen. It worked. Man, his family understood then what he's talking about. Amen. I'm glad he reached down, got this worm. Amen. But you'll be sorry that many will follow you there. That's the thing about hell. It don't care. It's no respecter of person. It don't care what color skin you are. It don't care how many many times you've been tattooed. It don't care whether you're a lesbian, a homosexual, or a preacher. It don't care. It don't care whether you're liberal, Republican, Democrat, independent. It's ready. Let me, you know, I know I've already been long, but let me just take, I've got young ladies here. If y'all wouldn't mind, I want to take just a few minutes to read some scripture here. Just take me just a minute. I'm just going to read it. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6. You ought to read it too. The psalmist said, I beheld. Oh, let me read verse 6. For at the window of my house, I look through my casement. Here's a man that's looking at someone else. That's about all we do. We see them. We see them sin. We see them kill themselves. We see them fight. Well, that's all this guy did. He looked. He looked. And when he looked, he beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding. Now, we've got plenty of them today. That's why their hair is all spiked up. That's why they're all tattooed up. That's pretty funny when you're 15. It ain't too funny when you're 40 and you try to wear long sleeve shirts to cover them up and all that stuff. But, you know, when you're void of understanding, you'll try anything. Give me some. I don't care. Sometimes they don't wake up. Sometimes once is all they get. But anyway, here's a young man. He's perfect for this, what I'm fixing to read. He's void of understanding. I mean, he's just a fool. He passes through the streets near her corner. Now, her corner is a place to avoid. It's a place where this young man, void of understanding, is going to get in trouble. He went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black, in the dark night. I'd like to take time to preach this, but I can't. I'm just going to read it. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. I told y'all about that porn star. I think it's appropriate to put enough clothes on. This woman had, she was advertising. She had insufficient clothing. Let me say it like that. That'd be a nice way to say it. But also, look at verse 11. She's loud. Now, these young girls here is quiet, and I commend them for it. I can't get them even an answer when I ask them a question. That's good. But all girls ain't like that. There's some girls, I work with them. They want to be heard. They want to say things and see your reaction. Well, this girl, she's loud. She's stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. I've heard tales about young ladies opening windows late at night, slipping out, and they don't make it back home. That's the way this girl was. Now she's without, now in the streets, and lying in wait at every corner. So she called him and kissed him with an impudent face. She said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day I paid my vows. She's a little religious, you know. She said, therefore came I forth to meet thee. Boy, she's got the flattery. Diligently seek thy face, and I have found thee. That's not a good thing. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. Sounds pretty good for a young man. For the good man is not at home. He's gone a long journey. We've got the opportunity. Let's take it. He's taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him, and he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it was for his life. Hearken unto me. Now therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Listen to this verse. Her house is the way to hell. going down to the chambers of death. Goes on every day.
Yeah.
Every day. The devil, he's pretty good what he does. Her house is the way to hell. You'll be sorry that many will follow you there. But also you'll be sorry that you can't leave. Hell's not a place you get to visit. Hell's a place you get thrown in. Matter of fact, the Lord said, bind them hand and foot. And cast them. And I'll tell you right now, buddy, on the way down to hell, you'll realize. The Eagles sing a song called Hotel California. It's a pretty song. We all like it. One of the lines in that song says you can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. Another line in that song says we ain't had that spirit here since 1969. Now the reason it says that, Hotel California is about the first church of Satan that was built in California. It used to be a church. It's like most churches. It couldn't take it and folded. Now there's going to be some ripples and waves. I promise you. You better learn how to endure hardness as a good soldier of the cross. Amen. You ain't going to do too well. But that church folded and Anton LaVey bought it, James. Anton LaVey, he's the one that played Satan in that movie, Rosemary's Baby. Anton LaVey bought this church, let's take for instance this one right here, and he changed it over. Done an extreme makeover. And now it's the first church of Satan, and the Eagles wrote a song about it called Hotel California. Next time you listen to that song, just remember what they're singing about. They're singing about the church of Satan. They're singing about we ain't had that spirit here since 1969. That's when it was sold to Anton LaVey. We ain't had that spirit here since 1969. You can stab the beast with his stealing eyes, but you can never kill it. You can check out any time you want, but you can never leave. Ain't that amazing? They write a song about Satan's first church, and boy, it's a hit. Man out there at work, they play it all the time. And I try to tell them, I say, y'all got any idea what you listen to? Oh, it's just a good song, Brother Eddie. Don't mess it up. I'll tell you right now, hell will mess it up, amen. Yeah, maybe they'll be playing it down there. I don't know. But you can never leave. You'll be sorry when you get to hell, because you won't leave. Oh, you'll learn how to pray in hell. You'll pray the most sincere. Oh, I wish I could pray like people pray in hell, Brother Melvin. I'll tell you right now, brother, they pour their heart out. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. If you'll just give me one more chance. Lord, I'll be the best Christian. I'll be better than Apostle Paul. I'll show the world what a difference you've made in me. Brother, that change is gone. I'll tell you right now, there's a nail-scarred hand reaching out. There's a welcome mat says, come. There's the Holy Spirit and the bride say, come. And the Bible says, let him that's athirst come. There's an invitation. It says, come. And if you fail the invitation, you'll find yourself in hell. You'll find out. You'll be sorry. You'll never be able to leave. Down there, buddy, you'll have an eternity to enjoy your mistake. Let me say, last of all, you'll be sorry that you gave up heaven to have a place in hell. The devil will make sure that you know that you could have had heaven. Now, I've never been to heaven, but I'm just going to, this is just per se, this is not etched in stone, but I'm just going to per se, the devil's going to come by. And the Bible does say that he's going to sport and he's deceiving, so I'm just going to guess the devil's probably going to come by and he's going to say something like, you know you could have had home in heaven. He's going to say, you know, I got you down here. Now you're mine. He's going to laugh at your tears. Boy, you ain't had no problem crying. He's going to laugh at those tears. He's going to laugh at them. He's going to mock. Oh, you're going to bow down. Man, I done found out I get in trouble. I'll fall down, boy. But he's going to laugh when you fall down and pray. And you're going to cry and pray. And he's going to sit there and, man, he's just going to laugh and make fun of you. You'll talk about the sorrows of that place. Hell is that place. I mean, no drugs, No painkillers. No cigarettes. No marijuana. People that said they can't quit, they can quit. I promise you. No alcohol. They don't even vote on it down there. No suicides in hell. Can you imagine? You just can't stop it. For eternity, the devil's laughing. Pray a little harder. Pray a little louder. You know, Elijah mocked those prophets of Baal and those prophets of gold or the groves. He said, pray a little louder. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe that's what the devil's going to do down there. Maybe he's going to say, you know, I believe maybe if you pray a little louder, God might hear you. And you're going to be laughing. And I'm sorry, you're going to be crying. He's going to be laughing. You're going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth. He's going to say, I believe you're getting through. The devil's going to mock and make a fool out of you down in hell. The sad thing is, you're going to realize you could have heaven. No suicides in hell. Only sorrow and suffering. Now you preach a message like this and you wonder, man, I wonder if it'll do any good to plead with someone about eternity. I wonder if it'd do any good to tell someone how awful a place like hell is. Well, I'll tell you how you can know. We'll fix and give an invitation. And you can do like you've done on days gone by. You can just sit there, wind up in hell, say, boy, I wished I'd listened. I wished I'd have came to give the invitation. Or you can say, but I ain't going to that place of the damned. I ain't going to that place of the destitute. I ain't going to spend eternity with the devil down there making a fool out of me and laughing at me. I don't know that they got pitchforks in hell. I just know the Bible talks about delivering them over to the tormentors. Some kind of torment. I don't know what they're going to do. I've seen all kind of drawings of hell and it show big beasts devouring men, biting them. I don't know. I ain't got a clue. I'll just tell you one thing. It's the kind of place you don't want to go. Heaven's the place that Jesus said He prepared for us. He didn't just prepare a place called heaven. Now, I don't want to preach about hell, not preach about heaven. But He paid for everyone to be able to go. Your fare is done paid. The way is done been made. All He's waiting on is you come here and get your ticket. It ain't a ticket. But I'll tell you one thing, when you get your name in the book of life, you're as good as there. You're in the body of Christ. Your citizenship's heaven. Your conversation's in heaven. Man, I'll tell you right now, I like that verse in the Bible. Sit on this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want nobody else to go to hell. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to know God wants you to go to heaven. But you'll have to come to Him. One thing that He left, it must be a really hard thing, Brother Melvin. He done all the hard work. He suffered. He wore the crown of thorns. He allowed them to spit on Him and beat Him. He allowed Him to shame Him. Crucify Him. One thing He left for you to do, that's to come. Call upon Him. It's rich in mercy. I'll call upon Him. He left that part for you to come. The Bible said, with the mouth, confession's made. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. I'm telling you right now, if you'll come and ask Jesus to save you, you can get a refuge for your soul. And if not, the devil will be glad to have you. Lord, we thank You for the message this morning. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, everything I said, I pray it didn't fall on the ground. I pray it was gathered up. I pray it went in through the ear gate. I pray it went plumb down to the heart of hearts. I pray even right now the weight of it's upon the heart of those that are lost. I pray, dear Father, right now they do the right thing. I pray, Lord, that they would break loose from the grips of Satan. I pray, dear Father, Lord, that without hesitation they'd come forward. And Lord, be obedient to the Holy Spirit and the will of God and get saved, even this morning. And Lord, if they don't, and they go to hell today, I'm glad I can truly say that my hands are clean from the blood of those that are here lost today. I've done my best to warn. I've done my best to welcome. And Lord, You'll have to do what else needs to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask everybody to stand. If I was here this morning lost, I wouldn't even wait for Brother Melvin to announce the name of the song. I'd come on down. I mean, just be a man. Just come on down. Need somebody to get you by the hand? Raise your hand. Somebody come. I need some help. Somebody go with me.
222.
Come on! Please. Please come. Please. They coming. Well, you got the orders. God bless you, Brother William. I appreciate Brother William. You talking about a godly example. Here's a man right here just steps out. Shows how easy it is to walk down. Old Bobma said the first time he stepped out, he said it looked like a mile. From that pew to that altar. So come on. You know, you might come this morning. There might be others follow you. You might be the very instrument God could use this morning, not just to save you, but maybe others might get saved. Listen, I got this message this morning at 4 o'clock. I'm going to preach on something else. I'll tell you right now, I'm delivering you the message of God. I'll tell you right now, that's God pleading with you. That's God causing your heart to beat like a jungle drum. What are you going to do with this Jesus? Young old, you need to come, come. I'm going to kneel down in prayer, Brother William. Lord, thank you, Brother William. Lord, I'll take 100 just like him. I thank you, Father, Lord. Just Lord, he shows how easy it is just to come up here and kneel down and pray. Lord, use Brother William. Bless him, bless his family. I pray, Father, he'd not be alone up here. I pray there'll be others come up here. Lord, and follow the same godly example of Brother Williams. Lord, maybe others may come. Maybe they might realize today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Help us, Lord. Father, may the world, when they hear this message on the internet, may they be doers, not hearers only. May they bow their heart and knee before Him that's rich in mercy and get saved. God bless you, Brother Williams. Well, I appreciate it, brother. You better be ready. I delivered God's message. I've been obedient. What about you this morning? You been obedient? If not, why not? If not now, would you mind telling me when? I don't understand. I told my grandfather I had plenty of time, have you? Thank you, Brother Melvin. Appreciate your obedience. Go ahead. I just meant thank you for singing another invitational hymn.
164, how are you?
I appreciate Brother Melvin being obedient here. There's a troubling of the water right now. You're to come this morning. Urgency being understated. There's no better time than right now. Won't you just come? Won't you just say, I'm mad enough? I ain't got nothing to lose. I've been aiming to turn. I'm just going to do it today. I'm making efforts. You may not hear the bells of heaven, but I'll tell you what you might do. You might say, Lord, I did come. I did ask. I was obedient. I did come.
Last verse.
Tie the garments and our stained ways
can be worked in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain
flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Still not too late. Daniel asked me that Sunday morning. He said, is it too late to get saved? I said, no, sir. You get saved. You get saved this morning. Thank you, Brother Melvin. I'm not no pedigree preacher, but I'll tell you one thing. I did deliver God's message this morning. That was the message the Lord had. I was going to preach something different this morning. If I got a word on your heart this morning, go ahead, Sister Sophia.
I had a brother. His head shut, had Bible study every week. One day a week, we'd all meet at someone else's house. And he'd sit in with us every time, and he'd read his Bible. He could tell you any place you want to look in the Bible. But he'd say, I'll never forgive so and so for things they've done to me. He said, till I die, I'll never forgive them. I think that would break my heart. I know it would his wife. She was first.
Yeah.
Sister. And he just, he one night, he just took a real bad. He'd been not feeling well. And they rushed him to the hospital. And he just kept getting worse and worse. He was there 2 or 3 weeks. He never did get to come back home.
Yeah.
And he said, they said he called, they called his children. He had a girl in Florida and one in Virginia. He just has 3 daughters and a son. And said they come, and the mother was so tired, they told her to stay home that night. They had to stay with him.
Yeah.
And said they had one on each side of his face, had a hold of his hand.
Yes. Yeah.
And then this, before he died, he just told us, Lord, have mercy on my soul. And it's a bad thing to do, to wait the last minute.
Yeah.
I don't know why nobody would pull a knife from the Lord.
Bless you, Sister Sophie.
I've done the best I could.
Amen.
For him.
Bless you.
And I say to one this house, we give their son to die on the cross and shed their blood.
Yeah.
For him, so you could be saved.
Amen.
And I've done that too.
Bless you, sister.
And I feel sure that when I leave here, we're all going.
Amen.
To.
Amen.
And I love
him. Amen.
He's done so much for me.
Appreciate the testimony. What she said is true. It will take you to the grave. Matter of fact, it's better to forgive. It really is.
And
it's
I
good to peel your head at night, not having
to
have
you
know.
The Pope was going to go in hiding when
yeah.
It was all over, and he's just going to leave.
He ain't gonna hide in God.
I thought he'll be hiding all right.
Yeah.
He's just hiding. Somebody else won't see him, I guess.
The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. Yeah. God bless you, Sister Sophie. I love you. I appreciate that testimony. Anybody else got a word on your heart? Anybody?
I love the Lord this morning. I thank him for the blood. You know, this whole world is getting mighty rocky.
Bless your mother.
But don't never forget Jesus.
Amen.
Always pray for him because he's done so much.
Amen. Amen.
And keep looking up. Don't look down. Because the world wants you to look down. Keep looking up. Regardless of what anybody does to you.
Bless your heart.
Keep looking up. God will take you through whatever it is.
Bless you, Sister Molly.
Keep your hand in His.
Amen.
And always thank you for what He's done for you.
Amen. Boy, see.
I could stand here from till next year and I never could give it all out for what He's done for me. I praise His holy name.
Amen. Right on cue right there, Sister Molly. Amen. Take Jesus with you everywhere you go. Amen. Anybody else this morning got a word in your heart?
Good message on hell.
Thank you, Brother Mel.
It'll be worse than what you told
me. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It said be a place out of darkness. Oh, this ain't bad to me right there.
Yeah.
And a lot of other things. And God can't lie. Whatever He says, it's going to be that way to the teeth. But one jump, tittle across the teeth, won't pass away. He'll be exactly that way. And you know, people think, well, I'll just burn up and that'll be it. No, we
no,
won't.
That won't be
forever.
It.
That body still, yeah. Everybody won't burn up.
That's right.
They'll be burned forever.
That's
it's
right.
Scary to think about it, you know. I made up my mind as a kid. My sister and parents didn't tell me about hell. I made up my mind then I didn't want to go to hell. You know,
yeah.
A lot of people don't have Christian parents. A lot of kids don't, but we need to try to reach out to them, you know, try to,
yeah.
To get them in church. All we can, and everything, but, you know, don't go to church. So, appreciate the message.
Thank you, Brother Melvin. You know, the same God that said, let there be light, could also say, let there be darkness. I mean, He made the light. He also made the darkness.
Yeah.
And hell is a place of outer darkness. I've been in back in a cave one time. We skipped school, made a light out of a motorcycle, headlight and a battery. I mean, we was poor. And back in the Saul Peter's cave, and the light bulb burned out. And I swear, you could not see your hand in front of your face. And we felt the ground to get out of there. Down in hell, it'll be like that, except it'll be fire.
Oh, yeah. Be careful.
Is there anyone else? If not, I'm sorry about being so long. That's the only apology I make. I don't apologize for the message, but I'm just sorry about being so long to deliver it. All right, let's all stand, please. Brother Howard, you carry this message for the prayer.
Oh, Lord, we come to you again today. Lord, we need your power. Thank you, Lord.